Dairy's connection to the world. This is The World of Dairy. Brought to you by the PDPW, Dairy's professional development organization. Learn more at pdpw.org.
Today we look at adding another revenue stream that could be right up your alley. We continue our conversation with Lois Fetterman, Program Director for Something Special from Wisconsin, who shares insights into the possibility of selling your product directly to the consumer. So let's pick up where we left off, Lois. The decision that needs to be made, I guess, first is, what is the product that you're going to market and sell?
Oh, sure. You know, do you have maybe maple syrup, you know, maple trees on your farm that you want to start making maple syrup, honey, any of those types of things, really putting into, you know, a full thought process of what it is exactly that you want to do, and then going through the steps of who's your customer going to be. How many are you going to have multiple sizes of your product? Or are you going to start out with one? You know, is your product going to be new and innovative? Can you be a leader in the industry? Or are you going to kind of fall in and just test with some of the things that already exist? And who's your competition going to be? Is your product category saturated? You know, there's a lot of maple syrups in the world. There's a lot of honey. There's a lot of salsa. What will differentiate your product from the others that are already out there that the customer might be used to and actually pretty well committed to purchasing from that person? I know people that actually raise the seeds and do their own custom mixed birdseed blend from their farm. So there's a lot of, you know, thinking of out of the box, what could be unique, what could be different.
We're talking with Lois Fetterman from Something Special from Wisconsin about maybe you want to start a second revenue stream. First, you have to come up with the product. And then you got to come up with a plan, don't you?
Exactly. And I highly recommend people starting out very simple, especially if they have minimal number of people involved that are going to be able to help with the entire operation as a whole. Test it out. See, you know, what we were talking about before about the time commitment for the return on your investment. And then you can build upon that. And this is, I think, a good time to talk about how critical it really is to have a business plan when you start. And especially if you really don't know all the details of what you think a business plan might be, especially the financial part of the business plan. And I can't express enough that people, when they start this, that they include money to pay themselves for their time and effort. And I run across a lot of conversations where people say, well, I just enjoy doing this, or I don't really need to pay myself for that. And that gets old after time. You definitely need to incorporate immediately in your pricing structure money to pay yourself. Even if it's $7 or $10 or $12 an hour, it still needs to be incorporated in that pricing structure. I think if you don't, one of the things that's really difficult is to get out of that then down the road and actually start incorporating, because you're really not making as much profit as you think you might be if you're not paying yourself. And other things such as, you know, where's your financing stream coming from? Is it something you're going to self-fund? Is it extended family members? Or are you going to try to apply for some grants, whether it be from your state or federal grants? Or loans, you know, low-interest loans, loans from your banking. Some people I know have taken second mortgages on their houses. I highly, highly recommend, though, that people don't use credit cards to fund the startup of that business.
Where does one go for help? Is there a specific place that somebody could start on this or get research, or can you tell us some resources on this?
Oh, sure. There's definitely departments of agriculture have a plethora of resources. I think that there's a lot more available than most people probably realize. So it's just a matter of asking the questions, making that contact, and university extension agents, industry associations, for instance, livestock, or you're in a crop, or grains. Grains are becoming really big where people are raising heritage grains and grinding their own flours. We talked before about ag tourism. Is there an agritourism association in your area that you could talk to? Typically, the process of building the on-farm direct marketing or homestead, selling from your homestead, a lot of the parts of the puzzle are the same regardless of what your product is that you're selling. So talk to others that you know are doing it and see what types of things you can learn from them. It's not something that just happens overnight. But I know dairy farm families that have younger generations that have gone out and started planting a few acres of produce to sell. And we have different ones that have done on-farmstead creameries, you know, where they start bottling milk or making cheese. One that also has some sheep, a small flock of sheep on the farm, and they make wool, actual make wool products and sell the wool itself. So, you know, the opportunities, in my opinion, are pretty endless. It's what the best combination is for the people that are involved in that particular entity.
Also, when starting up, you have to learn about all the licensing out there and the liabilities, insurance, all that kind of stuff, things that you really don't think about sometimes when you start your plan.
Real important. Some products are considered hazardous food products, and those would be things like meats or eggs, anything that could be spoiled, and that does require specific licensing. If you're doing a produce item, such as you're raising radishes, and you're not doing anything to them to alter them in any manner, they're not considered a hazardous food product. And so that doesn't require a special licensing. And then there's also licensing for, are you going to sell off of your farm? Are people going to come directly to you versus are you going to take it off the farm to a farmer's market? And then it steps up to the next level. Are you going to sell through a distributor or directly to a restaurant or a corporate cafeteria, that type of thing? So there's multiple tiers. So it's real important that you understand your licensing requirements before you start. And the other thing about licensing as well, make sure you check with your city, your township area that you're in, your state, and see if there's any particular licenses. Just because you might meet the qualifications of one of those entities doesn't mean you meet everyone's qualifications. And lastly, I think it's really critical to make sure that you take out a liability insurance policy to make sure that you're covered. And when you start selling, when you do become larger and start selling into some of those entities, they will require them. Some of them will require you up to $10 million in insurance coverage. Again, there's several resources that can help you weed through all those details.
Thank you for the time today, Lois. Lois Fetterman is Senior Agriculture Program Specialist with the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection in Madison, and also is Program Director for Something Special from Wisconsin.
The World of Dairy is brought to you by the PDPW, Dairy's professional development organization. Learn more at pdpw.org.